This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Hey, listener. This is Venice, and you're listening to Voice from the Underground, proud members of the Tangent Bound Network and the Famous Original Podcast Network. Welcome to the Underground.
Voice. Voice from the Underground.
My favorite podcast.
Voice.
Check out DJ.
Voice.
Check out Big Ass.
Voice.
Check out Dutch.
My favorite podcast.
Check one, two.
Voice from the Underground.
Check one, two.
Podcast. Welcome to the Underground.
Voice from the Underground.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Voice from the Underground, the podcast. We are a gnarly, spirited, super dope, and often mind-numbing juxtaposition of politics and pop culture coming straight from the underground and into your bubbling, pimply earballs. It is me, Jason Dutch, and I am here today flying in a two-man show with my man, Big Hussein.
What's up?
Big Hussein? Hey.
What's going on out there in podcast land? How y'all doing?
Oh, look at my African-American over here.
Look, there you are, my African-American friend. So, Big Hoss.
What's up?
So, we thought we were going to have four on tonight. We only have two, but it's all good.
Damn it,
so,
there goes our orgy. Pause.
There goes the it's just a one-on-one missionary podcast now,
looking each other in the eyes,
deep into the eye instead of at your backside. Luckily, we're both manscaped. real quick, some housekeeping. It's possible we might have someone join us during the show because we were supposed to have TJ on with us, and we're supposed to have Cole from Cole Sports join us, but I've been having some issues with Facebook, and for some reason my messages aren't going through, and I don't know if that's why, you know, if they are going to get these messages or not, and it's who fucking knows. So listener, if someone jumps in, blame it on Mark Zuckerberg, because he obviously has more answering to do to us than he did in front of the Senate hearing that he had some time back. Last week we did record a show, so we did not release a show last week, but we did record a show. And we had TJ on, and we had Haas's cousin LG on from Houston, and had
Third
a double humidor.
Represent.
Unfortunately, I have little kids, and one of them fucked with the soundboard. So the sound for the entire episode got screwed up. Now, I was able to save a little bit of it, and there was some funny pieces to it. So depending on how long we go tonight, and I'll let you know later in the show, whether or not I'm going to drop in some stuff from that podcast or whether or not I might release the short 20, 25 minutes that I was able to
salvage. The short and curly version?
The short and curly version, yes, which does include the Manscaped ad, which I thought was great.
Right.
I thought that.
Oh man, the Manscaped ad! If you're able to drop that in,
it was
the Manscaped
so good.
Ad last night is worth the price of admission, which is free.
Yes.
I'm just saying,
it's
if
worth
you guys,
zero.
Oh my God, gotta listen to the Manscaped ad last week. It is one of a kind.
Yeah,
Manscaped, you're welcome.
I will definitely try to get that in here. So, it will probably be at the end of the show. So, Big Heads Media, if you're listening. Just fast forward. Anyway, so we're gonna talk. Me and Haas are just gonna have a two man show here, and we're going to talk about a couple of different things. So, the first thing that we're going to talk about is one of the two people of color. Well, that's not necessarily true because I think Tulsi Gabbard is kind of color. Julian Castro is of color, but the African American candidates did drop out of the presidential race about a week ago. It's kind of old news at this point. This happened on the 3rd. Today is what, the 11th, but yeah. We didn't really it's have a show actually. Last week. Yeah, we didn't really have a show last week though. So we're going to talk about that a little bit at the moment here. Just kind of your thoughts on, you know, not only has Beto dropped out, who is a high profile candidate, but now Kamala Harris has dropped out. Do you care?
No.
No.
Okay. The thing, here's the thing with Beto.
Next topic. No.
Here's the thing with Beto. Like, has anybody even said his name in the last, like, month? Really?
Not unless it comes to gun control or people talking about white privilege.
Right. I mean, I didn't even know he was still in, actually.
Yeah.
So it was like he was an afterthought anyway. And Kamala, she wasn't going to win. You know?
You know, it's funny because if you'd have asked me that question after the first debate,
yeah,
she kicked ass in that debate. Yeah, I would have thought.
She wasn't going to win. It's like Kenan Thompson said in that one of those skits in SNL. Ain't nothing going to happen, though. You know what I mean? That she wasn't going to win. She had the double whammy. First of all, we already had a black president. So you're not getting in as a black president.
So you're second saying, of all, wait, did Corey have no shot, too?
The woman that ran for president, you thought they might know. So if a white woman can't win, you know good and goddamn well a black woman ain't going to win.
But the white woman was Hillary.
She was Hillary, but still she was white.
Yes, but all right, I want to talk for a minute about Kamala Harris. But sure. But real quick, so you're saying Cory Booker has no shot?
No chance. He should have left before he filled out the form.
Just let her. Is there a way that we can message him? And let him know. And broken Spanish, Corey.
I don't care how much broken Spanish he speaks. You know,
cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Just because as we say on 79th and Vincennes, just because you light skinned it, don't mean they're gonna let you in, dude. Just because you lighted in Barack.
Just because you white skinned it, don't mean you white skinned it.
Right.
Right.
You know, you're not getting in, dude.
I like Cory Booker. I think he's.
He's a good. I like him as a guy, but he ain't gonna be no president.
No, I mean he's a centrist. I'm kind of a centrist. Yeah. I mean, but he's on some things. I think I'm more left than him, and on other things, I'm not. I don't have a problem. What's that?
Such is humanity.
Yeah, I mean nothing is static. But but as far as Kamala goes, I'm gonna give you my 2 cents.
Sure.
On Kamala Harris.
Let me hear it.
Maybe she should have had an original idea. You know, the thing with Kamala Harris is, and I don't hate Kamala Harris. She's my senator here in California.
Right.
You know, I don't think she's been senator enough, long enough to say she's done a good or a bad job. She was the attorney general here in California, but before I lived here. So, you know, I really didn't have too much to say about her performance there, although I have heard stories. Especially when it comes to over incarceration and some, you know, penalties for certain low level drug crimes. You know, she's been kind of hypocritical on a couple of things, like, you know, she over prosecuted people who had marijuana possession charges, but then admits to smoking marijuana herself, but had no charge. Yeah. So again, I could care less if the president's smoking weed. And as you're doing a good job.
As long as you ain't doing cocaine, man.
Yeah, don't do no coke.
Don't do no cocaine.
And don't hang out with Rudy Giuliani.
Sucking dick for trade deals.
We're going to circle back to Rudy later. But the thing with Kamala is I think I've heard a couple of different journalists talk about Kamala Harris over the last week. And I believe that the Young Turks might actually have this one right. What they had suggested was that Kamala Harris was told by the Democratic establishment, which we all know is horseshit. It's bullshit. The Democratic Party is elitist and corrupt. And I have a feeling that they might be right. And what they suggest is that she was told by the DNC, look, you're not going to win. Stop taking votes away from either Joe or Pete Buttigieg. And step to the side.
Who's not going to win?
Her, as in Kamala.
I'm saying, Buttigieg has no chance either.
He's not going to win. He's trending upwards quickly. Almost every single poll. What do you need to win? Votes.
Right.
So we'll see.
He will not get black votes.
Well,
sorry.
Right.
And guess what?
If
he wins the nomination, Trump 2020. That's what's going to happen.
Do you think that that holds true if he's vice president?
Yes.
So you think that that Joe Biden Buttigieg ticket loses?
Yes.
Oh, I don't agree with you at all.
Because then you have the whole.
But black people love Joe Biden.
Guess what? They don't like black people as much as they like Joe Biden. I'm gonna tell you that right now. There's a lot of black people who, guess what? He gonna be Buttigieg because Joe Biden is 187 years old.
Yeah, so he's only a year older than Trump. So they're gonna vote for Trump instead. All I'm saying is this:
they're not gonna vote. No, they'll stay home. They won't vote.
Well, that's bad.
And then Trump wins. That's what I'm saying.
That's what happened last time. Four million
because they hated Hillary because of the whole they bought into that whole super predator bullshit and all that other stuff and the stuff that Bill did when she was just standing there.
But they
waving.
Liked Bill.
They liked Bill, but they fell for the bots, man. Black folks fell for
Bill
the
Clinton,
bots.
First black president.
You know, they fell for the bots. Oh, he created mass incarceration. No, he helped infuse it, but he was not the creator. And guess what? It was a whole lot of black people standing next to Bill Clinton when he signed those three strikes laws and all that other shit.
Right.
There was a whole lot of black people standing next to him when he did that. So don't act like he forced that shit down our throat.
That's true.
You know?
You know,
and she was just standing there and waving. She wasn't a policymaker. So how are you going to punish her for the policies he put through with a bunch of black people standing next to him saying, let's do it?
Well, she put through enough shit policy during her time in the Senate.
Like what?
Number one, she supported the Iraq War. Number two, she changed her mind on the TNP. She changed her mind on
TNP or TPP.
The pipeline. What did I say? I probably said it wrong. But anyway, she changed. And the problem with Hillary is Hillary changed her mind on whatever the topic was based on whatever was popular. She's very Trumpian.
Yeah,
in that regard.
Is definitely like that, and that's something I did not like about
her.
She's
very, very Trumpian.
She's a flip flopper.
She was Trump before Trump was Trump. So you know, Trump. Trump.
We
does
all know
the same.
Trump going Trump when Trump wanted Trump.
Trump does exactly. That's why he wanted to be an NFL owner because he wanted NFL like the NFL. But Trump has been doing this. Actually, Trump's been doing this for much longer than Hillary. But Hillary was just like she only supported things that she knew people were going to. Also, that think were popular at the time. And then, later on, she'll come back. She'll say, "Oh, but I can change my mind, can't I?" Yeah, but not about everything every day. You know, change your mind about the pantsuit. That would be a great idea, as long as it's not
Please.
For a skirt, because we don't want to see those legs. But okay. But as far as Kamala goes, Kamala Harris came out saying that she was for universal health care, which is the one area with the Democrats where I am 100% on board. I think we need, you know, to cancel all private insurance 100% except for supplemental. You can still have supplemental insurance if you want to. You know, if you're super rich and you want to buy a private insurance plan from.
But that's what they would do anyway.
You know, whatever. But you know what? Here's the thing. Just real quick on that. Yeah, and I've said this before. You and Kim Kardashian are never going to go to the same doctor.
Right.
So, you know, so what's the point? Like, she can pay cash out of her pocket to go to see, you know, Dr. James Andrews, you know, the famous orthopedic surgeon or whatever, right? You know, you're always going to have doctors who are hired by sports teams. You know, you're always going to have doctors who are the doctors to the Uncle Charlie's of the world, you know, from Two and a Half Men. You know, you're always going to have psychologists. Psychologists are not going to be typically covered. You know, I don't know about plastic surgery. Plastic surgery is not going to be covered. Abortions. I don't think abortion should be covered. And a lot of people think abortion should be covered for free. I don't think so, because abortion is, unless it's not a choice, it's a choice. And when I say unless it's not a choice, you know, if it's something where the woman's life's in danger or something like that, then that's really, but then again, kind of you do have a choice because you could choose the baby's life. But nonetheless, I'm not going to hold people accountable for that one. But, you know, if you have four kids, you decide your family's complete, and then, you know, you have unprotected sex and you're get pregnant again. That's fine. Have an abortion if you don't want the baby, but I don't want to pay for it. So anyway.
So what happens when you're on the pill and the pill fails?
Talk to the people who made the pill.
No, it's like a 99.99% chance that it
But you know works, that risk.
Yeah. So, you know, we're just going to that now, you know, just going to be like, well, I took precautions and this is what happened. So guess what? Now this is where I'm at.
Does that mean I have to pay for it?
Dude, we pay for your shit. You know, guess what? If you decided you wanted, if you decided you wanted to have a vasectomy right now, we would be paying for it.
No. A vasectomy is a choice. I don't believe that should be covered under universal health care.
But it is. It's covered now.
It's covered. Well, I had a vasectomy, and it was
100% out of pocket.
I had to pay copay.
That's right. So you I paid for your choice. That's pre-murder. If you want to, based on your logic. That's pre-murder.
That may be a minority report now. But that may be true. Okay, so I'm not disagreeing with you because you make a good point. But the point is that I don't think I'm happy that I only had to pay $50 for my vasectomy. But if I had to pay out of pocket for it, I would have happily done that because it was my choice.
Yeah, but some people can't afford to pay out of pocket.
Okay,
so what happens with them? See, because this is what happens when we do that. When we say it's not covered, when we do those things, all we're doing is punishing the poor. Because guess what? Rich people are gonna still go and get their abortion.
That's true, but at some point in time, there has to be accountability, and at some point in time, there has to be a line. You have to have a line somewhere, right? Like, how far can I take? We're getting way far away from Kamala here, but yes, that's fine. We'll come back to here. Well, you know,
I'm totally off script right now.
So this is the thing. So how far can you go with something? Here's what I mean.
Yeah,
you're saying, okay, well, if a poor person, you know, a poor person is affected because they, you know, they want, and I'm using the word want, right? I want to have a vasectomy. I want to have an abortion. If it's need to have an abortion, different conversation, right?
Well, guess what? But if for the quality of the family that's there, and for the quality of the child that's unborn, you know, you might need to have an abortion because
but
guess
one,
what?
But you can
okay,
make that
we
argument
have another
if they
kid,
have
we're
one.
Gonna be homeless. If we have another kid, this is gonna happen or that's gonna happen.
Okay, but,
you know,
I
the
think,
quality of life. Are you pro-life or are you pro-birth?
That I'm not sure that that's relevant to the conversation.
It's 100% relevant. Because if the child is not going to have a great quality of life, then what
but
are you
could
doing?
Say that for, you could say that for someone if it's their first child.
1,000%.
Okay, but what? So the where I was going is that I think that if you start the question with "I want,"
but then you're leading then the question by using that terminology.
But nobody says "I need to have an abortion." They say, I want to have an abortion.
No, there's a lot of people
Nobody
who have
says,
abortions
need,
that don't want to
I
have
need
an abortion.
To have a vasectomy.
There's a lot of people who have abortions who don't want to have an abortion.
Of course, but that has nothing to do with the
okay,
fact
then,
that it's still
then,
a choice.
So then you can't use that terminology.
Well, what if they want to have, what if they want to have, okay, so you say that it always ends up affecting the poor, right? So
100%.
If a rich girl decides to go out and improve her life by having her breast augmentation, should a poor girl be able to do that too, just so that she can improve the quality of her life also? You got to draw the line somewhere.
But hold on. After she gets her breast done, does she got to feed those breasts?
What do you mean?
Does she have to clothe those breasts? Does she have to, I mean, you're
you
saying.
To, yeah,
you, know,
you have you, to buy new bras and wear new shirts.
And is that an increasing expense through the life of the titties? No, you just buy new bras and now you got you're 36 double D now.
Okay.
You know? But guess what? That baby's going to grow and that baby's going to get more expensive. And that baby's going to need clothes. That baby's going to need food. And that baby's going to grow out of shoes. And that baby's going to need schooling. And that baby's going to need daycare.
Okay, but they have things. Then you can put it up for adoption.
Oh, so now let's go 9 months with the baby in us and have that bond be built. Destroy our body, and then give the baby up for adoption. Well, some people can do that. Some people can't.
Not right. I understand that, but you're so, talking about someone's emotions now. You're not
I'm
talking about
what
the
I'm
dollars.
Talking about is this? It's not my fucking body. So
right,
it should.
I know
should,
that.
It should not. It should. You. Here's the thing. Nobody. It's not. Your body's not somebody else's body.
So I'm not keeping anybody from having an abortion. This is not an abortion. Nobody's keeping you from having a vasectomy.
But you paid fifty bucks for it. This is state paid.
I don't want to pay for everyone else's. I don't want to pay for everybody's vasectomy,
but I do.
But you do on your insurance plan.
I would never want to have a vasectomy.
But I'm already telling you, I don't believe that a vasectomy should be covered.
All I'm saying is a vasectomy shouldn't be covered.
A breast augmentation shouldn't be covered. Weight loss surgery should not be covered. The only thing that weight loss surgery should definitely be covered
if it's life threatening. Mortal danger, yes.
Yeah. But if something is life threatening, that's one thing. If it's, you know what? I would like to lose 50 pounds, so I'm going to go have my stomach. Sometimes having a baby is life threatening. Yeah, and in that case, it should be paid for. I'm talking about it in other ways, too,
where you're going to have a baby who doesn't have a chance of having a great life.
How do you know that he won't have a chance? Maybe they could win the lottery in a year. I mean, that's maybe they could get a new job. There's a whole lot of ifs there,
and nobody's drunk, because if was a fifth, we'd all be drunk.
Maybe we need a fifth right now.
You know what I mean?
But
I'm
like,
just saying, man.
For me, if it's a life threatening thing, I think it should be covered under universal health care.
Right. If it's a health thing, it should be covered under universal health care.
What should not be covered under universal health care is money.
All I'm saying is if we're talking about while this quote unquote baby is still just a lump of cells right now, and you have an abortion, let's not act like that if that lump of cells was expelled right now, that's going to be a baby.
I know that, and that's a different argument, though. That's it.
But I'm just saying.
You're having the argument of when is it a life. I have that argument with people all the time. There's a difference between, I acknowledge that a baby at conception is a life. In fact, sperm is alive, but whether or not it's an independent life is the question, right? So to me, there comes a time sometime during the 9-month gestation period. I don't know when that is, but there's some time between conception and birth, when the head breaches, sometime between those two areas, you got to make a determination that's when it becomes an independent life.
Of course, but when we're talking about, I'm not talking about let's legalize all abortions regardless of the what the reason is. You know what I mean? I'm not saying we're not even talking about making it illegal.
We're talking about whether or not it should be part of a universal health care package.
I definitely think it should.
But that's
if it's not covered, it's not universal.
Sure it is. It's universal for life-threatening situations or for general health. Being pregnant is not a detriment to your health just in general.
For a lot of people, the things
that come along with being pregnant, yes. Like, for example, going to your gynecologist and having your ultrasounds and all the things that you would do when you are pregnant should definitely be covered.
But if you choose
to end the pregnancy, then you should choose to pay for it. It's only $300.
But a lot of people can't choose to pay for it, though. See, and that's the thing. You have to draw the line somewhere. You're speaking from the aspect of somebody who is only $300. You could put the word only in front of that. And for a lot of people, $300 is a lot of fucking money.
$300 is a lot of money to me.
Okay, then. So don't say it's only $300.
But what is less?
And then guess what?
$300.
I'm gonna pay for it myself. So I'm gonna save the money. Once I get the money saved, it's too late.
If it's a money thing, what is cheaper? Spending $350 to have an abortion, or the first time you go to the store and buy formula and diapers?
I'll bet the second. If that $300 is usually for food or for rent or for bus fare or for something like that, then you're making some big. It's not like that's just a free $300 laying around. That's the thing. People are already making choices between getting prescription medicines or paying the rent. So it's not like people have 300. Okay, well, no, I'm not
what you just said about prescriptions. That's a completely different thing. I agree, prescriptions should be covered. I just don't think abortion should.
When we're talking about $300 for an abortion,
right,
there are people who are already trying to make a decision whether they're going to pay the light bill,
right,
or use that $300 for an abortion.
Right.
Or they're going to pay the gas bill or use that $300 for an abortion.
Right.
So they're all, I mean, or pay the gas bill or pay or get food for the kids.
Right.
And then now you throw an abortion in there.
Right.
So guess what? You can't just say it's only $300.
So at what point in time does the person have responsibility for their own actions?
That's what, you know, something of having the fucking strength and the fortitude to say, you know what, I need to have an abortion is taking fucking responsibility for your actions.
I'm not saying that it's not,
you know,
but so is, you know what, maybe I should use protection because.
But why are you assuming that they're not?
But then hold the company liable who's contraception failed.
You can't sue a company for a 0.0001 chance that the contraception is going to fail.
Well, then, but you can't assume. But you can't hold the aggregate of society for it.
We do it all the time. That's called car insurance.
Sure, but that's not
okay. We do that shit all the time.
But that's not the same thing. We have no choice but to have car
insurance. People go out there and kill people all the time.
We have no choice but to pay car insurance.
We have no choice.
Right.
Right. And we should not have a choice. We should spread that cost across everybody like we all do. You know, because guess what? There are certain people in certain religions that don't believe in vasectomies, but they still paying for them shits.
Okay, but they're, you know what?
You know?
So the psychology that you're using is, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that people say that people have financial issues, right? What I am saying is at some point, and the left does this shit all the fucking time, they take personal responsibility and they completely throw it out the window because they say, well, there's always a chance of a chance of a chance of a chance that someone could get screwed over. Guess what? Sometimes in life, you get fucked. You know,
literally, you're talking about fucking somebody for 18, 19, 20 years.
I can look. You're
trying to fuck somebody for 18 years.
So I could make an argument that if you're going to say that person's quality of life would go down because of that $300, okay, I could say that my quality of life would be better if I had a six pack. So why doesn't the government pay for me to get weight loss surgery so that I can get a hotter girlfriend?
That is the apples and oranges motherfucking
comparison you've ever made. At all, because the 1,000%, want is still there,
dude.
You're talking about improving my life,
but guess what? If you are fucking, like you just said, you should take precautions. You should use protection. You should not be eating Twinkie cream.
I can't control what my face looks like. Maybe I want to get a nose job.
Oh, come on.
I'm just saying, where are you going to draw the line? You got to draw it someplace.
Yeah, so guess what? You want to get a nose job. Once again, after you have the surgery.
I can't get a job.
After you have the surgery, what type of costs are associated with the upkeep of a nose?
Well,
what type of costs are associated with raising a child?
Is it
as much as raising a child?
But that's not the point.
It's 1,000% the point.
You're bringing up the fact that because there's more expense to it, that therefore it's more valid.
No, I'm saying that your comparison is invalid because
I can't give up my nose for adoption.
You tell me something that is the same cost as having a child that you know you can't afford.
Probably nothing.
But then you
can give it up for adoption.
But then you have the whole you have a whole nine-month pregnancy.
Most adoptive families,
and never mind
usually
the fact though.
Usually the LGBT families are they very frequently will pay for the woman's time in the hospital.
But never mind the fact that
Which would be free under universal health care anyway. Never
mind the fact that we are men sitting here trying to talk about women's bodies.
Yeah, but I don't buy into that whole thing where we're not allowed to. Because we have opinions.
How?
So because there's a lot of women who will say
you can have an opinion if you are the motherfucking prospective father, maybe.
Yes, but then there's
you still don't get the final decision.
Yes, and that's a problem.
That's not a problem.
Sure it is, because there's a lot of times where look, there's a double standard. God, where do we We really went off into the
it's all right
quicksand, but you know, as I am a father, and I have had, well, I let's put it this way, I have four kids. I should have six. Okay, yeah. Twice I had a woman have an abortion that I didn't want them to have.
Yeah,
twice I had tears come out of my eyes because this happened. I don't hold it against the woman that they decided not to have the baby. Like, that was their choice to do so. But I am totally allowed to have my own emotions about it.
Of course,
fuck anybody who says that I don't. Number one, and
we can have a lot of emotions over things that we should not be having.
You should, but I have every right in the world to tell the woman, "Hey, I want you to have this kid, and I will take care of it." I have every right to say that,
and you know, you have every right to say that. And if science allowed, then the solution would be this: okay, we're going to transfer this baby into your man womb.
Well, that's not possible. What's more possible is that you would put it into a computerized womb, like in the Matrix.
This is the thing: is that you can't, if until we can have the babies, we have less of a say in who in those who can.
Well, what happens when we go into the Matrix?
You know.
So, and I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that to be literal. Like, what happens when we can grow, like the Borg, you know, grow the babies in a tube?
Then guess what? That's what you do.
Okay, so then do men have
but
a choice?
But you know something? But here's the thing, though. It's still a woman's choice.
But yes, but you understand that it's a woman's choice. So this is where there's going to be a problem, right? I'm just telling you right now, you're headed for an issue. So the woman decides to have the baby. The man now has, even if the man was for abortion and the woman wasn't.
Right.
So let's start this at A. The man's for abortion. I'm sorry. The man is for have the baby, let the baby be born. The woman says no for whatever reason. That's it. The man's opinion doesn't count. The woman, the man says, go have an abortion. The woman says, no, I'm going to have the baby. Guess what? Now the man has to fiscally be responsible for the baby.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So what do you say to that
and
man?
That's fucked up. But, you know, he could also he could also renounce his parental rights.
That doesn't get you off child support. And plus, you have to have someone else adopt the baby. You can't just give up parental rights.
Right.
You can only give up parental rights if someone else is, if like the woman's marrying another guy and he's willing to adopt.
Now, when we get to that, I am of the mindset of, you know, if you're going to insist on having the baby and we've known each other for 45 minutes,
right. Then,
you know, that's an issue. I do have an issue with that.
Okay. Well, you know what most people on the left will say? They'll say, well, you should have fucking not had sex. Guess what?
Well, I can say a lot of people on the right say that shit, too.
I can say
a lot of people on the right say, hey, you're supposed to put that aspirin between your knees and hold it there.
Right, but the point of the matter is there's a lot of people who will say the man's dick is he should have been more responsible, and maybe he should have wrapped it up. Maybe he should have.
Now, that's funny because I normally hear.
But if you say it to the woman, God forbid.
I normally hear the woman blame for pregnancy more than men, though.
That's because but that's a separate issue, right? In fact, the women have been blamed for a whole shitload of stuff. Like, I had a conversation the other day with this guy. Sounds to me like we're not going to end up talking about anything that we wanted to talk about. I had a conversation the other day with these two cats walked up to me walking out of the Walmart, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I went into the Walmart yesterday, filled my cart with groceries.
Uh-huh.
Got to the checkout counter, went
did
to pay.
Did not have your money.
And I didn't have my credit card with me.
Oh, that sucks ass.
So I'm walking out.
Did you leave
it
in the car at least?
No, I left. I had taken it. I had gone home real quick, and I had got gas at the gas station. So, you know, I'm a biker, right? So I have the chain wallet. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like totally dorky, but I have the Harley Davidson chain wallet. And, you know, so my wallet stays on my key ring when I get out of the car. So I just open my wallet, take the card out. I put it in my pocket, usually when I'm standing at the pump pumping my gas. And so it happens, I went home, changed my pants, put on some comfortable sweats, and then went to the store. Fucking card's still at home in the jeans. So I'm walking out of the Walmart, empty-handed, right? And these two cats walk up to me. And they're like, can we tell you about, you know, Jesus Christ? And I was like, sure.
Oh, you ran into some evangelists?
Yeah, I ran into some evangelists. So then this guy starts breaking out the Bible, and he's like, did you know God had a wife? And I was like, oh, this is going to be lots of fun. So I don't even remember why I brought this up. What were we just talking about? We were talking about something else. But the
we're talking about something that we don't agree on. We've been doing that.
Yeah, but we had already changed the subject. But nonetheless, I ran into these two guys. I don't even remember why I brought this up. The listeners probably remembering.
Warning. Yeah. Warning.
The listeners remembering, they're like, well, you were going
ahead.
Here's
exercise
where you were going.
Caution.
They were saying, here's where you were going with this. But unfortunately, I can't hear you because that's in hindsight. But these guys came up to me and they were trying to tell me that like God had a wife. And, you know, they're bringing up a verse in Revelations where it says he and the bride. And it's like, and, you know, there's it was just this weird conversation. Oh, you know what? Actually, since we're.
He got it, gentlemen. He got it, ladies and gentlemen. He got
it. No, I don't have it. I've completely forgotten.
Oh,
but but there was another person I ran into at Walmart. Also, I told you about this one. I walked past a lady outside of the Walmart in Bakersfield on White Lane, or not White Lane, on Gosford, and by White Lane, she's got this big table set up with a big sign that says, remove, what was the word that I used? I forgot which word it was. But basically, they wanted to take Gavin Newsom out of office, right? So I walked past this lady, and I was like, you know, exactly what is it that you are trying to do here? And recall was the word that they used. They said, recall Gavin Newsom. And I was like, what is it that you mean when you say recall? She's like, I want him out of office. We need to undo this election. He's ruining our state. So I said to her, I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, okay, well, so I'm wondering, are you a Trump supporter? And she was like, yes, I love President Trump. I was like, okay, so you fell into that one. Let me pull you a little bit closer to the, and like, I already knew where I was going, right? So like, I'm like, let me pull you a little bit closer in the shore here, fish. So what's your thoughts on impeachment? She's like, oh my gosh, it is just such a sham. She's like, these Democrats are crazy. They'll do anything. I was like, well, what do you think? You know, just like curious, what do you think the Democrats is the point of impeachment? What do you think they're trying to do? She said, they're trying to overturn the 2016 election because they're not happy about who won. I said, that's interesting. I said, what exactly does recall Gavin Newsom mean again? And she just stopped and looked at me, and she's like white as a ghost. And she says, but I agree with Trump. So you're telling me that it's okay to overturn an election if you don't like the guy. Right. But it's not okay to overturn the election if you do like the guy. Now, here's the funny thing. Impeachment, which was just, we finally filed for impeachment. The proceedings are beginning. He will be impeached, by the way, in the House. We all know this is the vote. Right. He's going to be impeached. He's going to be the third president in the history of the United States to be impeached. Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton are the only other two who've ever been impeached. This will be the third president
Bill
ever.
Sachs Clinton.
Yeah, Bill Sachs Clinton. Now, a lot of people don't know Richard Nixon was not impeached.
Because he resigned.
He resigned before the impeachment was brought to vote in the House. There was an impeachment proceedings and hearings going on, but he had not officially been impeached. He had not been voted to be impeached. So I said to the lady, I was like, look, this impeachment is not trying to overturn an election. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? It's Pence is going to be the president, not Hillary.
Right.
But you actually want to overturn the actual election. So the way I see it, you don't even get to have an opinion on the impeachment. You're giving up your
writer.
No, you know, at that point, you know where they go. They go to deflect and defame.
Yes.
You know, the four D's: deny, discredit, deflect, defame. We've gone through
duck,
this a million
dodge,
times.
Dodge, dive.
Yeah. It was just insane. And I've been stopping a lot of people lately. I stopped at this t-shirt booth where they were selling Trump t-shirts and just talked to the guy and the lady there. I was just, you know, and they were, well, the guy was a little crazy. The white lady was nice. You know, I didn't yell at him or anything. Just like ask him questions and stuff like that. But anyway, so where were we? We were talking about her
overturn Gavin Newsom.
No. I'm done with that shit.
We're going back.
Did you have a comment on that? Did you want to comment on the lady?
Nah, man. You know, it's the same old same. It's the same old song and dance, yo.
Around the world. Oh, how's it go? All round world, same song.
It's just the same old song, yo.
Okay, so let's try to get back real quick to Kamala. Yeah. So, like I said, Kamala Harris was for universal health care, but she then wanted to change it and all that type of stuff. And I believe that the RNC, the DNC came to her and said, look, you're not going to win.
Right.
We want you to drop out, and that'll help you out with your VP nomination or possibly becoming attorney general for either Biden or one of the other candidates, maybe Warren or whomever the case may be.
I don't know who the fuck's going to win, though. That's the thing.
Well, that's what I'm kind of wondering is like who right now, looking at who's left, and I guess Bloomberg, I hadn't heard anything because I've been going through a lot of other shit. So I think Bloomberg is in the mix now.
Yeah, he's running. But he's got a shady history with black folks too.
Oh yeah, Stop and Frisk was
that's him.
He didn't start it. No, he didn't start it.
I know that was going. Giuliani that started.
Yeah, Giuliani started it. He kept it going. So, but speaking of Rudy Giuliani, oh my God. Okay, so I got a little story for you. So this story is from Vanity Fair. And it's written by a guy named Gabriel Sherman. I'm going to read this to you real quick. I want your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Trump was pissed. Rudy given Fox timeout after insurance diss. So Giuliani's loopy soundbites and Ukraine business ambitions have gotten under Trump's skin. For more than a year, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump have been part of a chorus of West Wing advisor telling Donald Trump that he needs to fire Giuliani. By the way, those same two people are also trying to get him to – this is not part of the article. This is me talking now. They're also trying to get him to get Nikki Haley instead of Pence, which I called 6 months ago. Go back and listen to the audio.
Right.
But Nikki Haley smartly said no. But anyway, back to the article. Most people around Trump have tried to say Rudy is not a positive, but they liked him on television. So as Giuliani's legal woes mount, Trump is coming around to his advisor's view that Giuliani is indeed a liability. Three Republicans close to the White House have said the relationship has grown so strained that Trump has even directed Giuliani not to appear on Fox News. A Republican briefed on the conversation said a Fox source said Giuliani has declined producers' request to appear on the network in recent days. He is cut off from Fox News. The turning point seems to be Giuliani's Fox News interview on November 23rd, in which he claimed to have had an insurance policy in case Trump throws him overboard. And this really pissed Trump off. Now, Giuliani came back later and said it was sarcastic.
I was just playing. Please don't get mad at me.
The whole quote was something, and I'm going to try to say it verbatim because it's not in the article. But it was something about, do you think Trump will throw you under the bus? And he said, no, I don't think he'll throw me under the bus, but if he does, I have insurance.
Right.
So, what's the insurance that he has, Big Haas? What do you think?
I think it's just taped conversations.
He always brags about that.
Yeah. I think he's got tons and tons of tapes of him talking with Trump about the shit they're going to do and how they're going to do it and da 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 and, you know, inflammatory shit that he says about minorities, marginalized communities, et cetera, et cetera. You know.
You are fake news.
Can't be true. He's perfect. He's a perfect call. Yeah. They're all perfect calls.
Oh, my God. The best and the brightest indicted individuals of money can buy.
I was a really good student at the best school. I'm not like a smart guy, okay?
So, here's the funny thing. Do you think, because I think I know what your answer is going to be, and I'm not even sure I'm happy about this. Do you think that Rudy Giuliani not going on Fox News is a good or a bad thing for the Trump 2020 campaign?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I think it matters.
I don't think it matters because the people who are going to vote for Trump are going to vote for Trump. If there's anything we know now is that people that are still supporting Trump will support him through anything. It does not matter. So Rudy going on and being, you know, accidentally letting slip shit and all of that other good shit, no matter how bad it looks for Trump, it's not necessarily bad for him because those people that are going to vote for him are going to vote for him. I feel like anybody that's on the fence about Trump, how the fuck are you still on the fence? That's what I want to know. That's just like saying, oh, you know, that's Satan.
It's because of the economy. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, but you know what? You talk about the job market at 44% of people make under $18,000 a year. So what kind of unemployment for unemployment's sake? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, but it's funny because.
But it's also funny. But it's, you know why it's funny to me? It's funny to me because people talk about the economy like time stood still from 2008 to 2016.
Well, 2009. But technically 2010.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're exactly right. But I'm saying, I just covered a whole tenure. But people act like time stood still, and we kept losing 700,000 jobs a month, and we kept unemployment kept skyrocketing, and the auto industry went on ahead and went extinct, and the banking industry went belly up, and then Trump was elected, and everything turned around, and here we are.
Hooray!
Yeah, and people act like that, and it just really, really, it's like in football, if a running back runs the ball down to the 20-yard line, and then the quarterback throws a 20-yard touchdown, everybody's like, oh, yeah, that was a great drive, great, great throw. And he's like, well, I ran six straight times down the field. What are you talking about?
I scored the touchdown, though. I ran it across like Al Bundy.
People and Trump act like he hit a home run when he actually, you know, he was a pinch runner. And he came in on third base. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll somewhat agree with that. I will say this. The economy, if you look at the trends, with the exception of the Bush presidency, or Bush 2, over the last 40 years, the trends for the GDP and for the stock market and things like that do seem to go higher under Republicans, just as a general rule. And everyone knows the reason why. It's because, you know, the thought is that Republicans are going to ease up on regulations. So, you know, it's not at all surprising to me that the stock market likes Donald Trump.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
because
it's not,
you have
not
all
at
these companies taking their
getting tax cuts.
And then what do? They buy up their own stocks to artificially increase the rates. You know, they buy back their own stock. We've seen it. You know, they didn't reinvest it and add jobs and these things. Like, these companies that are getting these tax cuts, you know, they got a such and such $1 million tax cut, and they're still letting 1,700 people go. You know,
yeah, and a lot of companies let people go, like AT&T, right after they gave them all $1,000. You know, they got a lot of publicity for saying we paid every employee $1,000.
Yeah, and then we let them go.
And then we let go of AT&T. Interestingly, calls it a surplus. How do I know this? Because I worked for AT&T. Which is always a funny term. We had a surplus of employees, so we decided to let them go.
Just, you know, all of a sudden, we figured out we had a surplus of employees.
AT&T does. You know, they give pretty decent severance packages and stuff like that, so they're not the worst of the worst. But the point of the matter becomes that I think that the Giuliani not being on TV for a while, there are people who are on the fence because of the economy, or because of maybe they hate everything about Trump, but they think he's a friend to Israel, or they're afraid of the so-called radicalism. I think it's overblown, but the so-called radicalism of the left. Maybe they don't like the social justice warriors, which I don't particularly care for either. You know, maybe they don't like the cancel culture, you know, or something of that nature. And and because of that reason, they are on the fence. But they're like, man, this guy's just total shithead, and Rudy just keeps giving shit away. There has to be a certain number of people, however small, Rudy not saying something stupid will not push them over the fence to vote against Trump. You know, and they just might go into that ballot box and pull the lever for red. You know, it's unfortunate, but you know, Rudy Giuliani, I think, was doing a fantastic job of turning those people blue. You know,
it's okay. Just, I mean, I can get with that if that's that. I can definitely see what you mean, but the fact that it comes to someone being that inept to actually push you over the fence, that just says something about you to me. It's like, it's pretty cut and dry for me.
That may be true, but you know, people have their vices, right?
Right.
You know, people have their beliefs. You know, some people might believe that there's a lot of false narrative out there that, you know, Barack Obama was a communist and that Elizabeth Warren's a communist. Bernie Sanders is a communist.
Nazi,
right?
Muslim.
Yeah, Black Panther.
Yeah, everything.
Not just the Huey. What was it? Huey Newton? Was that the guy's name? Huey Newton from Black mm-hmm. Panther? Not just the Huey Newton Black Panthers. He actually was T'Challa and Huey Newton at the same time. So that's the thing. All right, you just hit on the word I was going to say. There is a big difference between socialism and communism. And people need to draw a line there. Communism essentially sets up in a de facto way the government as the church. Socialism does not do that. So people who are afraid that maybe their faith will come under attack or whatever, or homosexuality would come under attack. Homosexuality would be just as much trouble under a communist regime as it would be under a totalitarian evangelical regime. Right?
Right, right.
So,
right.
You know, that Russia used to kill homosexuals when they were the Soviet Union.
They still do.
They still round you up and disappear you. Putin loves to disappear people. Him and, you know, they just disappeared. I don't know where they went. They just disappeared. But this is going to be, listener, we've got a hell of a year coming up here. This is going to be an interesting year. I don't know who I like yet. Right now, I'm still leaning towards Elizabeth Warren. Who do you like so far?
I'm kind of leaning toward Elizabeth Warren myself.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that she's slipped a little bit lately, but I think by and large,
I don't trust Biden. I don't trust him at all. I don't trust him to remember.
It's funny how he's fallen. You know,
just listen to some of the shit that he said over the last few weeks, and you're just like, this dude ain't all there, man.
Yeah, he's the touchy thing, I don't care about, right? Like, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's touchy people all over the place that are great people. I mean, yeah, it's just touchy.
Maybe it makes him a little weird Uncle Joe, right? But
he's not Uncle Joe that you wouldn't like. You would be like, no, you can't leave the kids around him.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to a guy.
He's not that type of Uncle Joe.
No. He's not that type of Uncle Joe. I was talking to a guy today at work. He was an Uncle Joe type. He's talking to me about something work related. He's an older guy. The guy's probably 75. Puts his hand on my shoulder, and he's like standing so close to me that I can smell his lunch. And it's horrible.
You can smell his breath. You know, right. He had turkey and cheese for
lunch. It's horrible. It's horrific.
Right. Right.
But at the same time, like, I'm not one of those who's like going to say, I'm not going to later, if the guy runs for Congress, I'm not going to talk about how that made who, the guy just was
he
being
put his
himself.
Hand on my shoulder. He was a close talker.
He was very close and it made me very uncomfortable. And because of that, we should not vote for him.
Yeah, we shouldn't vote for him. He's a close talker.
He's
going to get really close to Putin.
No, he's very, very close. But that's one of the things, like, this Trump likes Putin over our own intelligence agencies, and people continue to forget that.
The way they let that Soviet dude just run the fucking press conference and shit too after the meetings.
Are you talking about Russia or Ukraine?
Yeah, Russia.
That's happened multiple times, so I don't even know which one you're talking about.
The most recent, I guess.
Legarev
or some shit like that.
Yeah, the foreign minister or something like that. I don't remember which position he had, but there's been a couple of instances where, you know, Trump just turns it over to, you know, the Russian diplomat.
The thing is like after I bash my own national security agencies, now I'm going to let this dude talk.
Oh, well, that one was Putin. Because Putin talked before Trump on that particular day. And like, he's like, we did nothing. We did nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing bad. Nothing wrong. Nothing bad. It was perfect. Yeah, he is actually, I think he might have even said it was a perfect call. All right. So a lot of politics going on. Let's take a quick break. And actually, what I'm going to do is when should we put in? You know what? I'm going to put the Manscaping ad in at the end of the show. So what we're going to do is okay. We're going to go to a break, come back from the break, we'll have the humidor.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about a couple other things. And then we will play last week's Manscaped ad. So we'll be right back.
All right. We'll be right back. Exactly.
Hey, come back.
Voice from the underground.
Hi, it's Audra,
Jason,
and Matt
from Drinkopedia Podcast.
We're a bad education podcast that's like drunk history for the full curriculum.
We have new episodes every Thursday, and you can find us on most major podcast platforms.
Join us at the bar and follow us on Twitter at Drinkopedia Pod.
It is written, the meek shall inherit the earth, but not on my watch. I am King Asylus. I wasn't born to be a king, but America needed something democracy could no longer give her. And so, like a chess master, I made my moves with anticipation and bravado. This is not just my story, nor simply about my rise to power. This is a story about our world and the monsters that control governments. What happens when the monsters cannot control me? The Rise of King Asylus. Listen on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Visit theriseofkingasylus.com.
Do you read books? Do you live near small bodies of water surrounded by trees and other wildlife? Is that geese shit? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you have found a home here at the Brook Reading Podcast. Each week, I read a book while nestled in my small New Jersey apartment and gaze out the window at a brook. Then I jump online, talk about it, ask for your opinions, and bitch about something for approximately 5 minutes. If you'd like to join this madness, check me out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or on Libsyn.com. You can also contact me at brookreading@gmail.com or on Twitter at brookreadingpod. Let's step into some animal feces together.
This is a Danger Entertainment Podcast. Danger Entertainment Podcast Network.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to Voice from the Underground, the podcast. This is Jason Dutch. I'm with Big Hoss. We've been arguing today.
Along at all today, man. We're going to have to go to counseling or something.
Yeah, we need to go see the
psychologist.
He never acknowledges
the things I do.
He's always blaming me for everything. Everything's my fault.
He
I don't get it.
All night out.
None of my opinions matter to you.
Comes home smelling like Chanel number five.
number four. Damn it. When I saw you with Enrique, like, the pool boy.
Comes home smelling like Sex Panther and expects me not to raise a ruckus.
You know, they say it's 60% effective 100% of the time.
100% of the time. It works every time.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, you.
So, listener, if you like this ridiculousness, you can support this show. Now, some of you may have noticed that I had to switch over the Patreon. We did lose a few patrons because we had an issue with our Patreon account. So if you find that you are no longer a member of the Voice from the Underground Patreon, it's my fault.
Get back please. In, please. Yeah, you can, get back
you,
in.
You can please rejoin. There was an issue with the receiving bank account because I changed banks. So that was the reason. Most of the patrons didn't have a problem. I would say 7 of the 12 or so patrons that we have, though we did lose like 5 patrons. So, you know, if you don't come back, great. But if you do, great. That's 2. And if you want to join for the first time,
please come back.
As Dory
would say, come back.
Come back. But yeah, you can go to www.patreon.com/VFU podcast. Yes, the Patreon is the same. It was just the bank account that changed. www.patreon.com/VFU podcast. You can also find that at our website, www.vfupodcast.yolasite.com. Listener, also, before we do our everyone's favorite part of the show, if you'd like to pick up your phone, if you're using an iPhone or using an app, some podcasting app, you'd like to help us out to be a little bit more discoverable, you can help us be discoverable. Like Christopher Columbus, you can help us to find the new world.
Going to get lost?
Yes. Just go down and leave us a review. 5 stars, 1 stars. We don't give a shit. The best ones are on Apple. So if you have an iPhone, grab your friend's phone, pick it up, and leave a review for Voice from the Underground. Just scroll down to the bottom of all the episodes and click on the 5-star icon there, and you are done. If you want to leave a comment, we'll read it on the air. By the way, we did have a comment on blackface. We talked about it last week. I'm going to see if I can save that audio, and if I can't, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, last week's audio got fucked up. So if I can't, then we will talk about it when we have TJ on the show, because I definitely want to have these guys. We already talked about it once, but you know, oh, we can have the conversation again. I don't even think we got to dive into it as much as we wanted to. But for now, we're going to dive into the humidor. Cue that music.
Welcome to the humidor with Big Hoss. Find out what Hoss is puffing and drinking today. If you try his suggestion, and you die. That is natural selection, and the VFU podcast is not responsible for you being weak effing sauce. Now, the one, the only, Big Hoss.
I'm not on drugs.
Big Hoss. What are you drinking? What are you eating? What are you smizoking on today's humidor?
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah. Tell me what you got going on.
Oh, man. I'm smoking on some high society and drinking a little well, too. You know.
I believe you've met my fitness consigliere.
So today, I am smoking on a Bernard Terrell barber pole.
Lady Tyrell, Game of Thrones.
Now, Bernard Terrell Cigars is a black-owned brand.
Oh.
www.bernardterrellcigars.com. And I've had their cigars before at certain events and everything. They've been out for maybe 4 or 5 years. So in tobacco and in cigar terms, they're really young. They're really young.
A little wet behind the ears, as they say.
A little bit. It may even been out a little bit longer than 4 or 5 years, but I'm not quite sure. I'm talking about when I first came across them. And, you know, they've got a bunch of brands. They have a bunch of lines. And I chose today to grab the gentleman's barber pole here, and it is a pretty nice damn cigar. It's my first time smoking this one. They have a bunch of infused cigars that I had smoked before, and I'll probably review some of those in the coming weeks or months or whatever. But this is my first of the non-infused cigars that they have. So it's really truly like a I'm really literally smoking it for the first time on Voice from the Underground, the podcast. It's called the Complex Barber Pole.
Oh,
so you have, and when you complex. Have a barber pole, it's 3 different types of wrapper, and the wrapper is the outer leaf that you see. Okay, So you have the Ecuadorian Maduro wrapper, which is the dark part. Then you have Cameroon Maduro.
Cameroon.
The Connecticut wrapper, which is lighter, is from Ecuador. And then there is a Habano wrapper, which is kind of a medium tone in between the dark of the Maduro and the light of the Connecticut. Okay?
Isn't most things from Connecticut kind of white? Light white?
I'm not going to go there.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Dutch tried to get me in the water.
I've been trying all show.
But, so, then...
That bomb is so white, it should go snowboarding.
I like snowboarding, though. I've actually done it. It's pretty cool.
Sure.
Uncle Tom.
Some people would say. The filler is Dominican... it's Cuban seed, but they were raised in Dominican Republic. So it's longleaf, Dominican binder and fillers.
But are they natural born? Are they naturalized citizens of the Dominican Republic? Is what you need to know.
They're just
birthright citizenship should be canceled.
Cuban seed, but they were raised in the Dominican Republic.
We should cancel their citizenship because they're not really American.
This is a medium body cigar. It's really smooth. Let's see. It's kind of like you get I almost want to say pecan. You get kind of a pecan.
I call them pecans.
Pecan, pecan, whatever. Pecan pie. I say it like Billy Crystal said it in that one movie. He said pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
It's like the strength is medium. So it's really it's a cool cigar because some barber poles are super strong, right? And what'll happen is a beginner or someone shouldn't be smoking on it. You know what I mean? But this is a barber pole. It's complex enough where a seasoned smoker can enjoy it, like myself. I can call myself a seasoned smoker now.
What are you seasoned with?
It is
Lowry's.
Mild enough, even though it's a medium, it's mild enough where you're not being overpowered as a newer smoker. And I paired it today with Mr. Cazadores Tequila Reposado.
Cazadores is a good tequila.
Cazadores, I've got Cazadores and I got a little ginger ale in it.
I like that. That sounds good. Did you put a lemon in
there? It is pretty good, and it cuts this tequila is a little strong.
Is there a lemon in it? Did you put any lemon in there?
I did not. I'm going to try that next time.
Yeah.
But
sounds good.
I would probably do that definitely next time, but drinking it straight.
Cazadores, by the way, with 50-50, tastes amazing.
It's the bomb, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the bomb. Really good. Yeah, I know. Like when I first had this rep, when I had the Blanco, I had a bottle of the Blanco and I drank all of that. So I got the Reposado this time. And it seems like it's a little stronger to me than the Blanco.
I was doing shots of it.
I was doing shots of it before. And I was like, I'm not going to do shots while I'm podcasting because I would be three sheets to the wind. Fuck two.
Oh, then I win all the arguments. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
But. Back to the cigar. Great cigar. The price point, if you go on BernardTerrellCigars.com, you get a 5-pack for $60, so that's $12 a smoke. You get a 10-pack for $115, so you save a little bit there. But I would definitely get a 5-pack if I could. You know? Because it's a pretty good cigar. I can definitely see this cigar as something I can smoke in the morning with my coffee, in the afternoon or at lunchtime, like say if I'm working on the laptop and then I want to have a smoke while I'm doing some stuff from home or something like that. Or when if I'm out at the cigar lounge having a good conversation and sipping whiskey with the fellas. So this is a pretty much an all-in-one type cigar, which is good. I would say that the price point may not be the normal daily smoke type price point. But if you got five, it's really cool if you know you're going to the cigar lounge and you want to smoke or something. On it. Man, I love that song. But like if I was going to cigar lounge, you know, you pull out a Bernard Terrell Complex barber pole. It's going to draw some eyes to it. People are going to ask you what you're smoking because it's a very appealing looking cigar. The ash holds up well. The draw is pretty light, so you don't have to like struggle to produce a little smoke and keep it lit. Mm-hmm. This one is a torpedo type shape, so it's tapered at the end. And I did a 45 degree straight cut on it where I cut the tip at the angle pause. So I like that better than a straight on torpedoes. I like the angle cut better than the the horizontal cut for some reason.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I give this cigar a 4.29. So it's not bad.
4.29.
I really have good luck with cigars, and I like that. It may be that I have that type of palate that
he's like Mikey. He likes it.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I may have that type of palate where most cigars are agreeable to me, and that's why you get ratings like this. That's why I encourage you all to go out and smoke these cigars yourselves, and then comment on it. You know, give us a comment, tell us what you thought. You know, because my palate may not be the same as yours. So, you know, I look forward to hearing, and you know, a lot of times that's what we're doing at the cigar lounges. Man, I had that cigar, I didn't like it, or I had that cigar, and I think it's phenomenal. You know, and then we banter back and forth about that, and that's part of the culture. That's part of the lifestyle of cigar culture. So, you know, please, 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 I highly recommend you go out and get one of these cigars, get a couple, go get a 5-pack, and smoke one right as soon as you get it, and then let one rest and see how the profile changes, because it'll definitely change. All cigars do that. So, you know, I recommend you go ahead and get one. I like them a lot. I know I can smoke them in a bunch of different times. The price point for me, because of my economic state, puts it outside of the daily smoker. But, you know, if things change, I would definitely pick up 10 of these.
All right. Well, there you go. Unfortunately, those things only affect the poor. They don't affect the rich. The rich can go get whatever they want. So maybe we should give free cigars to the poor. Okay, we won't go there.
Don't give free cigars to the poor. They don't need them.
We won't. Plus, it'll cause more healthcare issues. All right, so another successful humidor edition. Last week, my favorite part of the humidor was when your cousin LG called. I forgot who she called a Thundercat, but she saw someone, a young Thunder.
I forget too.
Yeah, young Thundercat.
Young Thundercat.
So speaking of young Thundercats, Roger,
shout out, I love you.
Roger Goodell, no updates on the Patriots videotaping incident or the Antonio Brown probe.
Well, I heard an update.
Let me read one paragraph, and then I'll just so that the listener has some context here. New England, obviously, with a history of videotaping, they're doing it again. They were caught videotaping during the Bengals game. I mean, who on earth fucking needs to videotape the Bengals Cleveland game?
I think they were cheating for that game just to keep in practice. They didn't want to get rusty.
Yeah. Exactly. They're just trying to practice cheating so that they make sure they got it right.
Just so they don't lose their they didn't want to lose their edge.
We got to be good when it comes time to get the Chiefs game.
You still got
to
practice. We still got to practice.
So this was yesterday. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said Wednesday there has been no resolution to the flap involving the illegal videotaping of the Bengals sideline by a Patriots TV crew during last Sunday's Cleveland-Cincinnati game. Goodell said, "I have no anticipation when asked if there is a timeline for a possible resolution of the matter. I have a feeling the timeline will be the moment the Patriots win or are eliminated from the playoffs."
Yeah.
That's when it'll come out.
That, you know, and I heard today that the video only shows normal sideline activity that you would see in the game. But you know what? That's bullshit. Because the normal sideline activity in the game, you might see signals being passed, hand signals being used in the game on the sideline. But we don't have the luxury of, as the viewing public, of syncing that up with the play that actually gets run, and then relaying that down to the locker room at halftime. You know,
right.
We don't have that. So when they talk about that mess where they're saying, oh, it's only normal things that you would see in a TV telecast. Yeah, normal for the viewing public. But guess what? You know, for a professional football team with people that can, oh, that's the hand signal. We had another camera on the play. So now we know this hand signal probably goes to this play unless we heard an audible call. You know what I mean? And then if we hear an audible call, hey, guess what? Now we know what Texas is. Or now we know what you know, Phillip is. You know what I mean? So when they say that, that's verbiage used to placate the public. But given the resources that professional football teams have, normal sideline viewing that we see is way more useful for a professional football team than it is for us as the normal viewing public. So I'm skeptical. I don't believe shit that comes out. The Patriots miles, them must cheat more than Ike Turner. You know?
Speaking of football real quick, Ravens up 42-13 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they're messing up my father-in-law right now. I'm not happy.
But your boy Lamar Jackson, I haven't looked at the stats. But
he's the goddamn truth. I think he just threw his fifth touchdown pass.
My God. It's like that guy I'm not sure if it's him or McCaffrey, but 3-4 weeks ago I would have said for sure McCaffrey was MVP. I think they're right there with each other right now. Russell Wilson has fallen off a little bit.
He struggled last week.
Yeah, but I don't think he's out of the running. But no, you know, those three guys, one of the three of them, certainly going to be the
season's
MVP.
Season's not over yet.
Certainly going you to know, be the MVP. So as we move on here, we want to talk for a minute, last couple minutes here of the podcast. For the listener, the podcast will be a little bit longer because I'm going to throw some shit on the end.
Right.
But Rise of Skywalker is going to be coming out very soon. So there was some last minute bombshells that were dropped in some new clips. According to The Week, everything may be proceeding as some Star Wars fans had foreseen. A wild new clip from Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker released Thursday provided one last-minute bombshell reveal from the film, one that very strongly suggests a fan theory surrounding Emperor Palpatine will end up being true. In the clip, Palpatine, who was thought dead in Return of the Jedi but has somehow returned in The Rise of Skywalker, communicates with Kylo Ren and tells him, I have been every voice you have ever heard inside your head. The line starts in Palpatine's voice, then morphs into Snoke's voice, and finally turns into the voice of Vader. So, what are you thinking? All right, so, obviously, Disney, very smart. This movie comes out, guess what? I think the same, I forget if it's the same weekend or the weekend after The Mandalorian comes to an end, because there's one more episode of The Mandalorian yet, so they're timing it really perfectly with the end of The Mandalorian, which I think has been really, really well done.
Real good.
Maybe a little bit lighter on action and maybe a little bit cheesier from time to time, but Star Wars is always cheesy, you know, so it's, but I'm, the last movie I didn't like, and.
Oh, you didn't like Solo?
Well, no, Solo was, actually, I kind of like Solo better than I liked The Last Jedi. I just didn't care for The Last Jedi.
Oh, The Last Jedi, Dick. The Last Jedi, was that before Solo? Or
yeah, it was before Solo.
That's what I thought.
That was 2 years
okay.
ago. Solo was last year. That was their off-year movie. So
yeah,
I don't
Solo
think
was okay. I like Childish Gambino in that.
I didn't hate Solo.
No, I didn't hate it, but I didn't
like it either.
Yeah,
like
I was underwhelmed.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'd watch it again. But this one, I mean, this is the end of the 9-movie trilogy that we've grown up with. Literally, you and I have grown up with this, and it's going to be bittersweet. I know Star Wars is not going anywhere. Disney is not letting go of this franchise in any way. There's going to continue to be Star Wars shit coming out. But this particular story line is seeming to come to an end. Although, I mean, they could have a TV show at any time and talk about. See, there's so much you could talk about with Star Wars, right? You could just pick any character. You could make a show about the Wookiees if you wanted to. You know, it. But what is your thoughts about this movie? Are you looking forward to it? Is it, you know, do you think that it's going to be a fitting ending to this 9-movie run? What are your thoughts? I'm interested.
I'm into it. I'm into it because I want to see what's her name. I want to see her and Kylo Ren go at it. I forget her name, and I'm sorry because I like her.
Rey.
I want to see her and Kylo Ren go at it. I know there's going to be some nice battles between them. I want to see a little bit more development of some of the other characters. And see how they play out, you know. Mm-hmm. Will it be a fitting end? I don't think so. I think what will happen is they'll leave just enough meat on that bone so if they wanted to return to it, they could try to put something together and do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, December 20th, by the way, is the release
December
date.
20th is when it comes
out. So the last episode of Mandalorian would be this upcoming week, which will be what? It's the 12th now, so 13, 14, 15, the 16th. So yeah, perfectly timed. You know, it's I have to tell you, I'm really, really looking forward to going to this movie. I don't envy being in the theater, which is crowded, so I might wait until after Christmas to go see it.
Or maybe I'll go see it. It's definitely going to be crowded that first couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. I might even go see it like Christmas Day or something, you know, because I'm not against going to the movies on Christmas Day. I've gone a couple times. I don't like going
like Christmas morning.
Yeah, like after presents are open and you got that kind of dead period before you have Christmas dinner, you know, so maybe I'll do that. Or the other option is at like 10:30 at night on Christmas night, you know, when Christmas is over and the kids are in bed and all that type of stuff and the day is pretty much over. It's a nice cap off to Christmas. I might do that.
Less also. Little nightcap.
A little nightcap to Christmas. So, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. There's really not a lot else pop culture wise that I think is worth talking about this moment because, and the reason I say that is because our next show, listener, is going to be our last show of the year. So we are going to, I think we have agreed that next week's show, was it next week's show or was it the week? Next week's show is going to be the last show.
Because that's the week before Christmas.
Right. And I think we're going to try to record it on, I'm not sure if it's going to be Monday or Thursday. We'll have to figure out when we're going to record. We recording this on Thursday this week. We usually do Monday. But we had some shit coming up, going on in life here. So, that's going to be our last show for the year. We're going to take a break until after the new year. So we've never technically we didn't have a show last week, but that was audio problems. We have had a show or at least one, sometimes two shows a week every week since about episode 7. And we're on episode 100 and this is 131 or 132. So we're due for a little break. Next week we're going to have Gerald on, and we're going to go back over all of the pop culture and political stories from this year and just have a little bit of fun talking about it. And also from the decade, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the best pop culture moments from the decade. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit of Marvel. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit of, our biggest memories from the last decade. I know I have a few. So, Haas, start thinking about your favorite memories from the decade in pop culture, from politics, from sports, and we're going to try to come up with one or two each. Listener, if you would like to get involved, and maybe if you have one or two great memories from the last decade, definitely let us know. Go to Twitter, and you can send it to us at Twitter, @DutchJason, DutchJason. You can find me there. Or you can go onto our Facebook page, Voice from the Underground, on Facebook. Or you can send us an email, vfupodcast@gmail.com, and get in touch with us. So, again, stay tuned for after this for some outtakes from the last show that we recorded.
Please. You got to listen to this stuff at the end. It's so good.
Warning, the audio is not great. but I did the best I could and saved as much as I could. This was a 2-hour show. If I would have tried to save all the audio, it would have taken me like 17 hours. And guess what? I don't have that type of time. So, parting shots, Big Hoss, final word is yours.
You know something, people? Sometimes you disappoint people. You know, they feel like you should have acted a certain way. What? Can I finish my thought, man?
Well, I thought I disappointed you. I was apologizing.
No. No. But sometimes in life you disappoint people. And they feel like you should have acted or behaved a certain way in a certain situation. And guess what? Here's the thing. As long as in that moment you are being true to yourself, then we just let time tell if they were right or wrong. You know, because at that moment, as long as you're being true to yourself, you're right. Okay? Mm. And you may learn in the passage of time that that version of yourself that you were being true to wasn't right. And then you make the necessary change. Or you may find out that it was right and you more install that into your life set. You know what I mean? But I say all of that to say this. Be true to yourself. Other people be damned. Okay? Be true to yourself and let the chips fall and learn from the mistakes of your truth and build on the positives of your truth. Okay? Be out.
Okay. We're out. And you know what? I'm going to add one quick statement to that. It's always when you hurt somebody, you have to forgive yourself first, right? We all know
word.
And you know what? After you've forgiven yourself and after you've had to make amends, if the other person doesn't forgive you, then you have to find a way to forgive them for not forgiving you.
Right.
So just
don't hold on to it. Don't drag it around with you.
Because then it's on them. If you're genuine. If you're not genuine, then you know, then maybe they shouldn't forgive you in the first place. But anyway, we will see you next week for our final show of 2019 on Voice from the Underpants. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Voice from the Underground.
All right, everybody. So I was able to make about 30 minutes of this show that we recorded originally on December 2nd listenable. You've got a really cool conversation on blackface, as well as a pretty hilarious ad to end the podcast. For the ad for Manscaped Lawnmower 2.0. So I will, even though he's not technically here, I will introduce him and we'll let him pick it up as the show went. He is the one, the only, on leave from work, TJ John Stizone. What's Krizakalin, man?
What's good, my brother? TJ John Stone from Voice from the Underground, the podcast. And that's who you'd be if you were me, joined by Jason Dutch.
Woo-hoo!
Super producer, Jason Dutch. And my man's, my brother from another mother, Big Haas. What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
Big Hussein.
Big Hussein's in the building. Yes, he is. Haas, you got a guest with you today, bro. It's not just you rocking the mic. It's not just you on the one and two.
Not just me today. I got all the way from the third coast, my cousin LG from Houston.
What's up, cousin LG from
Houston?
Hi, cousin
LG. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Wonderful. Enjoying this nice chilly weather here.
How the Haas talk you to get on this crappy podcast?
Oh, God. Hey, I'm Boss Lady Wade, Houston, Texas, JFK Monte Cristo, Smokers, Northside Smokers of the Leaf.
Okay, so here's my question.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Have you, did you know that he had a podcast? Have you ever listened to this show before?
Yes, I have.
Why?
What? Why would you do that? Why would you subject yourself to this podcast?
Because you guys are funny as hell.
Well, looks aren't everything.
Goodness gracious, she definitely has to listen to podcasts.
You guys have great topics, you know. I catch it when I can.
She definitely has to listen. She thinks we're funny. Well, listen, we appreciate you coming and joining us on the Underground here. We appreciate the listener, too, Jorge. I know you're still out there rocking with us, so we appreciate you. The one and the only. We appreciate you, brother. Happy Thanksgiving. I know what you guys had the show, and I wasn't there for it, so my apologies, but you know how Costco be, they just be wanting all their time, and I just I can't split myself in two yet. I'm working on it. I'm not quite there yet.
Go clone yourself like in Watchmen.
Oh yeah. Are you caught up on
Watchmen? Oh yeah, I'm caught up on Watchmen and Mandalorian.
Haas, you caught up on Watchmen?
Oh, you know it. I watched episode 7 last night.
Dude, it's a show about race relations. Of course, he's caught up. He's 4 episodes ahead.
He's got the whole season done, right?
Yeah. he got a special release to
I will admit that season 3 did surprise me at the end of episode 7.
He got that Barack Obama special early release like Game of Thrones, right? Did Jon Snow die? Just tell me Jon Snow died.
You are fake news.
Oh, welcome, Mr. Trump. LGD, I don't know if you knew that, but Trump, I am a member of the underground. I am the first and only member of the underpants. So welcome. I know you voted for me. You're a wonderful black conservative and you love Trump. So, welcome to the show. I love black people.
Whatever, motherfucker.
At any given time, you are more than welcome to how do I put this delicately?
Oh, look at my African American over here.
All right, you're more than welcome to tell him off at any point in time. That's okay. You're more than welcome.
Me or Trump?
Pick one.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. Well, look, I know there's a lot we want to talk about today, guys, and I'm looking forward to getting into quite a bit of it. I'm going to be with you as long as I can. Costco's still calling.
We got TJ for, 35 minutes?
45.
Let's dive in.
Yeah. Haas, you had a strong list of topics, brother. And since you got the guest today, I want you to pick the first topic that we're talking about.
What?
I know, right?
You going to let a brother talk?
Just today. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Really?
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to have to go.
Make sure you're sitting by the microphone.
There he goes.
Fucking with your
there
producer
you
already.
There it is.
Well, here's Big Haas. Hi, everybody. My name is Big Haas, and I'm on Voice from the Underground. And I like to go back and forth like this all day long because it pisses Dutch off.
Just call me the Stevie Wonder of the podcast, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Jeez Louise.
I'm sorry, but leveling. I'm going to definitely have to go with Watchmen. And I just want to know what are everybody's thoughts. We're all caught up.
No, I didn't say I was caught up. I just asked if you guys were caught up. I'm not caught up.
So have you not watched?
No, I haven't watched the rest of them. No, I haven't.
Wait, what's the rest of them?
Now, well, how many episodes deep are you?
I've had family over for the last few days, so my family just left today. So now I'm TV free.
What episode are you on?
I'm still on episode like 3.
Oh my God,
brother! Right. I've had family. Which all right,
so
do?
So a quick change. TJ, watched The Mandalorian? Then are you caught up on that?
No. Okay. I refuse to do the Mandalorian. And there's a specific reason for
that. There's your pop culture for the week.
I refuse to do The Mandalorian because I have done episodic episodes of TV shows, and I'm not going to do it again. I want them all at the same time. I'm done.
So what are you going to do? Wait until the
end?
I'm annoyed.
I'm going to wait until the end.
That problem is so white, it should go snowboarding.
Whatever. Third world problems if you want to. I refuse.
We got to do the listener question. I have to have you on for that.
Well, then do the I told you do it in the beginning. Do the listener question.
Do the listener question right now.
Do the listener question.
Well, right now, Dutch.
When I ask this question, you'll see
do it right now.
You'll see why it's important. Okay? You'll see why I'm trumping.
So just ask the question.
A guy named Rich that I know, and this wasn't a question that was written. It was a conversation that I had on Twitter. So one of our Twitter followers, a guy named Rich, who is also in the Facebook group, was talking a few weeks ago. We had a conversation, and I meant to bring this up when Delvin was on, but I totally forgot. We were talking about blackface, and this was right after the Justin Trudeau like brown face where he was pretending to be a member of the Arabian Nights. And he said, look, here's how I feel about blackface. He said, and he made an example for me. I'm going to give you the example and I'm going to ask you guys to talk about it. And I just want your opinions. And maybe we'll have LG go first. So, because she's the guest. Imagine you have a school and it's in an area, maybe it's a smaller high school and there's just not any minority students. Maybe there's a couple here and there. But you have the drama program, and the drama program wants to put on a play. And let's say that they're a very progressive-minded school, and they decide we want to do say, hairspray, right? Well, that play would require that you have at least 7 or 8 blacks in the play. You don't have 7 or 8 blacks in the drama program. You don't even have 7 or 8 blacks in the whole school. But you want to put on an accurate representation, and it's important for the audience to be able to see who is playing what. What do you do? Do you go, can you do some sort of blackface where you talk about it beforehand? Can you, you know, do you just wear a sign around your neck? And say, I mean, how can you do this and be respectful to the play and put across the message that the play gives, which is one of you know, anti-discrimination and diversity?
Was that the question? Or
this was the conversation, and I said I wanted to give. I had to lay it out a little bit because it's a long-winded convo, but I wanted to set the stage the way that Rich wanted me to set it.
Okay.
So, what are your thoughts on that? You know, how can you do that? And if somebody did this in, let's say, 12 years ago, if let's say that exact situation happened, I don't know that it did. You know, should we be firing these people from their jobs today? So I'm going to let you guys tackle this and go from there.
Well, let me chime in. As an educator, we're definitely not doing black faces. Okay, if we're going to go ahead and suggest that particular movie, whatever script we're going at, why can't we just choose something else? Why do we have to do this particular, knowing that we don't have any black kids in school.
That's it,
so
right there.
Why can't we just go to Coal Miner's Daughter? You know what I'm saying?
And that's exactly. I mean, I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly my thought process. The people that put these plays on, these performances, they know they take a litmus test of their school. They know the amount of children interested in the drama club or the plays that they're going to put on. They have an idea of how many African-American students they have versus Caucasian versus Hispanic. They're not stupid. So with that being said, if I'm in a predominantly Caucasian school, there's a chance that I'm not putting that on because I don't have enough African-American students to perform that play correctly. If I'm in a predominantly African-American school, then I'm not too concerned about it. But I'm also not going to be putting on a play that's predominantly focusing on Caucasians because I don't have the correct number of students to perform that and do it justice. So if I realize that I'm not garnering enough attention or I'm not garnering enough people interests in doing this particular play, then I'm going to change the play. That does not give it an excuse to put on blackface because I really want to put this play on. It's not about what you want. What's going to be best for the school right now?
You're not
going to be able to put on that play and let everybody be able to get what they need to get out of it if you got white kids dressing up in blackface. You're not going to get the effect that you're looking for. I can assure you of that. You're going to get an effect, but it's not going to be the one that you were hoping for.
Now, I have a different approach on this. Definitely, I got to say nay no to the blackface, of course. However, what about this? We all know what black hairstyles look like. We all know that we know what those hairstyles look like. So guess what? When we're doing this production, hey, let's make sure the hairstyles, especially for the black quote unquote characters, are accurate. Because guess what? Through the context of the play and everything else that's going on, you'll know who the black players are because guess what? I don't wear my hair like that.
So the black kids are going to have a particular hairstyle, that's okay to put on white kids? Like, we know that the black kid's going to have a nappy afro, so that's okay to put on a white kid.
Why can't they wear, because it was, you know, you're wearing back in that time, it was, you're wearing the conch. So you had not a nappy afro, but you had the fried, dyed, and laid to the side hair, you know? So,
and you're going to tell me that the progressive left isn't going to grab that and go crazy too when a guy decides to run for Congress 20 years later?
I don't think it's a good idea.
But you know something? On when you're talking about that versus blackface, it's just like on Halloween when somebody dresses up as Michael Jackson but doesn't put on blackface. It's the same thing. You know it's Michael Jackson.
Yes, well, but you can get away with Michael Jackson.
See, you can go either way. Flavor Flav. So that's not a good.
I was Flavor Flav for Halloween, and I didn't put on blackface.
That's right.
The clock gave it away.
The hairstyle gives it away.
Right. I don't know, dude.
I'm not saying that that's the best idea. I'm just saying that that's an alternative idea.
Let's just say you get a white person and you give them locks. Like, you think that's not going to fly, bro. Like, it's just not. That's not a good look. It's not as bad as blackface.
White people wear locks.
But you know what I'm referring to. I'm saying we already have a problem with them when they bite our style already, and then we're gonna say, okay, well, you can wear our hairstyle now.
Well, here's the thing: if you bite our style and you're not giving credit, that's one thing. If you bite our style and you're doing it for a play, that's another thing. If you bite our style and say, I really enjoy Jamaican culture and this is where this came from, I didn't make this up myself, that's another thing. But my thing, when we talk about cultural appropriation, is this: if you're talking about cultural appropriation, that in itself means that somebody's taking something from another culture and not giving credit and taking the credit as if, like when the Kardashians did the whole boxer braids, and we all know what the fuck boxer braids are,
right?
You know, because, you know, Mimi and them around 79th and Vincennes was rocking boxer braids back in the 70s and 80s.
Right, right.
So if you don't give credit, it's cultural appropriation. Just like that's one of the reasons I can't stand Post Malone. You know, because he don't give a good goddamn about black people, but he want that money from that genre. Anyway, I digress. That's tangent
Cowboy
number one.
Cowboy Malone?
Yeah, whatever, dude. But I do agree with my cuz when she said the best possible thing would be to just do something different.
Yep.
How do you get the message across through by doing a candy apple play, like, you know, Cats or something like that, that has
Jack
no cultural message?
Bring a cow, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Or you could.
What
just
am I
going
to get out? I don't mean to be a dick, but what am I going to get out of Jack and the Beanstalk that's going to portray a social message that these people may not in that neighborhood, especially if it's not diverse, that they may not be
Then you show the movie.
Exposed to.
Yeah, there you
then
go.
You just show the fucking movie.
Show
then.
A movie.
And hey, we can't do this. We can't do this justice as a play.
Yeah.
To properly do this right, we're going to have everybody come in and we're going to watch the movie.
Yeah,
we're going to watch Hairspray on TV.
Yeah, you don't have to do a play that day.
We're not going to try to do it because we can't do it right. If we can't do it justice, but we want to make, it's very important that we get this message across. So because it's very important that we get this message across, we as the drama club, we're going to do a little bit of a something different and we're going to show the movie. And that, there it is.
Yeah.
And parents are more than welcome, and we'll do a little show before the movie for the kids so you can see your kids act and stuff. We'll do a little skit or something like that.
We'll do something, but I guess my thing is that doesn't necessarily need to be what your play is based on. If you don't have the right personnel to pull that off, then you just don't pull it off. If you want to show that movie at a different time, then you do that. If you want to show to make sure that people truly understand exactly what the messages you're trying to get across, then you find a different time to do that. But if you don't have the personnel, then you just don't play that game.
All right.
100% right. 100%
because
right,
I know TJ's got to get off. I'm pause. So what if this pause? So what if this
is always pausing?
What if with this exact same intention, right?
Mm-hmm.
That this was done in 1998. How liable is the kid that did what the teacher said and had good intentions for? Well,
it's not the child.
Tell that to the people who are trying to get people to lose their jobs right now.
Well, they are bullshit. I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with all of the cancel culture.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Be very clear.
You have to have the context of the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It's got to be in context, and you got to also understand if you're an 11-year-old, you don't have any say so in that regard.
Because right. They're just if you're seven, you just put it on. They put
job.
It on you.
You're doing what the teachers asked you to do. Now you could be an extremely woke 11-year-old, and then got your parents involved to have them maybe shut it down. But the chances of that happening, especially in 1995 through 1998, they're slim. People weren't woke in 95, or at least it wasn't as well known if they were woke in 95. You see what I'm saying? So if you're from, if you did this in 95 and you were a child, there's no way you should be held liable for this in 2019, 2020.
100%.
That's ridiculous.
Now, if you're a college student, then maybe, maybe you have a little bit of a different, you know, sense of liability.
Mm-hmm. But when you know better, you do better.
You know, if you're a freshman, sophomore, junior in high school, you don't know.
Yeah. And
especially when you know better, you do better. If you're in freaking Utah and there's no black people around to even raise the antenna. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. That's like we went on my wife and I, we went on a food tour of Atlanta, Georgia for my birthday this year. And
crawfish.
And it was a Southern food tour where they talked about things like slavery and how they had to make meals out of what they had and had to use the parts of the meat that, you know, white folks didn't want to eat. And lo and behold, it was a white lady teaching us this stuff. So to be quite frank with you, it was a little off. We were put off for a second until we said, oh, she knows what she's talking about. Okay, I see what she's doing, and just roll with it. But at first, having this white lady give us a Southern food tour and teaching us Southern culture and things that happen in the South was a little off-putting. It took a second to be like, okay, hey, look, we're in 2019. Roll with it. To say, okay, let's just go. And it ended up being a great time. But to pretend like it wasn't off-putting would be a lie, because it was.
Maybe it was at first. But it's not. It's one of those things
but
where
then you just get over
people,
it.
Whoever is most qualified to disseminate the information is most qualified to disseminate the information.
And she was spitting that knowledge about Dr. King loving his fried chicken and coming to that exact same spot to get fried chicken, that being the home of the unofficial home of the movement. Hey, you got me. We in here.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure I agree with everything, but, you know, like I said, my opinion doesn't matter because...
Well, what's your opinion? You asked us ours, so what's your opinion?
I think that a person's character and intentions should matter.
Okay.
That's period. Especially when it comes to, you know, white people in a lot of areas just are not subjected to, in a real world way, to people of color. Other than the, you know, working.
You mean exposed?
Yeah, exposed. That's what I. So, thank you. You know, they. You know, the closest they'll get to a Mexican is the working at McDonald's. You know what I mean? It's obviously it's a different issue, but the point of the matter becomes, if you're not exposed to people of different races, and you have to get. We can change a lot of minds by exposing people to these ideas and these cultural differences and show that they're not all that different, you know, but in the case of a movie, like, you know, a play like Hairspray or some other, you know, let's say that they were going to do, I don't know, like Rent, you could probably get away with doing some other way, but like if Crash was going to be made into a play, right. Or something like that. And that's why Zootopia was so amazing, because they did it all with animals, but
which was great.
You know, the point is, you have to be able to expose people to to the fact that people, because of the melanin content of their skin, does not mean that they're born to be killers. You know, they're rapists and murderers, and they're coming and maybe a good person in there, but most
they're all
rapists.
MS-13.
So all that type of stuff is going to be shown in this play. Like that's what you like that you're gonna be able.
No,
to,
you're not gonna.
You're gonna be able to show in this play that African Americans are not rapists and murderers and killers. Like, what are you gonna be able to depict in this play to these kids
of a person of color? But if you don't
using somebody that's not colored to do
but
so,
but it's it not like you're color. It's not like you're saying I wouldn't do it. I'm giving a white kid the part over the black kid. There's no black kid trying out. So what are you supposed to do?
So how are they going to truly get that message if they don't have a proper representation of what it is you're trying to show?
That's the question. That's why I think it's such an interesting question, because I think that the motive and the intention of the person and the character of the person and the goal that they have in mind should be more important. Now, again, I'm not advocating for blackface here. I'm just saying that I'm trying to determine if you guys think that there is a scenario where it could work.
Well, let me answer that question. Let me answer the question. No, there is not a scenario where blackface is going to work. Except, yes, Tropic Thunder.
Here's another thing, too, is this. I understand the message that you're trying to get across, but even with a white kid in blackface, because that white kid is white, trying to play somebody that's being marginalized, the emotion
and realism and the organic sentiment that's going to come through that portrayal will not be there because they don't have that experience.
That's true.
And that goes to the effectiveness of the message you're trying to send.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
It's just not going. It's not going to hit the same.
Yeah, I can't portray a woman going through labor because right. I don't know what that feels like. You know what I'm saying? So I can't accurately portray labor pains unless you hook me up into that machine now that they got that simulates labor pains for men.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm like, straight on that. Like that's why Philadelphia was such a great movie. When Tom Hanks was going through his character was going through the AIDS portion of it, and he was dying, and it was just so fucking real, you know. And when people portray cancer patients and they're, you know, people with cancer are like, I really related to that because it was such a real depiction, you know. It's almost impossible. Right. It's almost impossible to do that for marginalized communities like blacks and browns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. TJ, parting thoughts.
Love everybody like you want to be loved, man.
Wait, I thought you had one more thing you wanted to talk about,
oh,
TJ.
Oh, yeah, if you got time, go ahead and do it. I don't know if TJ has time.
Oh, no. We're going to have to say that for another day because that question was really good.
I told you.
So it took a little time, but I like that. I appreciate you asking that question. I appreciate you was it Rich?
Yes.
I appreciate you, Rich, for having this this conversation.
Thanks,
and allowing
Rich.
Us to speak on
Thanks,
it.
Ricardo.
Yeah, that was a good one, bro. That was a good one.
Great
but
one,
love each
Rich.
Other. Love each other the way you want to be loved, man. Hugs and kisses. Love you guys. And I'm out.
Now, we do have a quick little ad we have to run here. LG, I'm going to involve you with this. You have no idea this is coming, and it might get a little awkward, but I don't. You just have to live with it because it's part of the show.
This is going to be great.
You are into guys, right?
I'm into guys?
Yes. You are not.
Yes. No, I'm not lesbian. I'm not bisexual.
Okay.
Strictly dick in here.
Strictly dick. All right. So when you.
You don't even see my face right now.
When you meet a man and he's a little bit unkempt below the belt, tell our listener, what are your thoughts when you meet this gentleman and everything's nice on the outside, but it's a jungle down there? Is that something that would you happen to tell him about that, or would you just go with the flow and never call him again? Or do you like that? I don't know, but I'm curious how you would address it.
A jungle. So are we talking?
Very unkempt, very nappy.
Oh, nasty, nappy.
Lots of hair.
Musty.
Yeah, lots of hair.
Oh no, because I'm kind of into oral sex, so I'm definitely not going down on a smelly, musty, hairy, nasty nut. Yeah, I don't like hair in my teeth. I don't want to gag it in my throat. So no, I'm gonna tell you, and I'm just gonna tell you. If I get a whiff of it, I'm not doing it. I don't know what we're gonna do, dude, but. Me going down is not going to happen, and this relationship is probably not going to happen because I'm so into oral sex. So,
well,
I'm going to tell. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you.
Listener, you've heard it here first, and you heard it from LG. Keep your shit trimmed. So
please.
Here's a way that you can do that. The new sponsor of Big Heads Media and Voice from the Underground podcast is Manscaped. Manscaped,
yes.
With their new Lawnmower 2.0. This is a way that you can keep your nuts jingly fresh this holiday season. With the new Lawnmower 2.0, you can sculpt that hair. You can make sure that you don't get razor bumps. You can make sure that you don't get cuts, nicks, and scratches, or accidentally decapitate the young little one-eyed pirate that hangs out below your belt. And you can do all of this with 20% off. That's right. You can go to www.manscaped.com and you can use the promo code BIGHEADS.
Promo
code
ho ho ho.
Ho ho ho.
Promo
you can
ho.
Use the promo code BIGHEADS at checkout and you'll receive 20% off of your order.
Get Manscaped. Your nuts in order with get Manscaped.
Get your nuts in order and go place an order. I actually have ordered my own using that code. Because we were not one of the lucky few that got a free one coming from Manscaped. Ain't but we're going to support Manscaped anyway.
Ain't that some shit?
Ain't that some shit? You know, they gave it to the white podcasts first. So, but listener,
standard.
You can still support the show because we do get a little bit of cash when you buy Manscaped.
Hey, I'm going to sure get some Christmas gifts.
Your balls for this
holiday.
Yeah,
save season. Your balls.
And maybe, if you're lucky,
LG. You can get your dick sucked. We'll LG won't be sucking your dick, but I mean, well, if it's a nice dick, I mean, I don't know.
LG,
I'm
never
single
say never.
And I like to mingle and I like to suck dick.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you for that info, right? Hey, and, you weren't expecting that, were
you? You know
big
what?
Big guy.
Let's just say it this way. Their odds are better if it's Manscaped. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. They're the best.
You
can
like lick and it's kind of smooth. Yeah, we like it smooth, honestly.
Hey, these guys got creams, they got ointments, they got
you need
deodorizers,
oh, you got
they got
butter. They have butter?
They have butter.
Oh, they got butter. No dick butter,
Manscaped
but we have
nut butter.
Butter.
You heard it here first.
Sometimes I don't know if they love our ads or if they just can't
they're
stand
probably,
them.
What the fuck is going on over there? But nut butter's good. Nut butter's good.
You've got the ringing endorsement of LG.
No duck butter. Duck butter.
Manscaped, you can contact us. We'll give you her info and you can send her the check. Because she
please do, because I would love that Manscaped. In fact, I'm going to order some. They were like, damn, LG ordered those? Yeah, she
at 20%
did.
Off by using the promo
can't
code.
Beat it.
Big heads. Okay. So
big
now that we've
heads.
Gotten all that.
Oh my God.
Oh, she likes the big heads too. Now we've gotten all this out of the way.
Mandingo. I will make it happen, Captain.
The LG, do you have a Twitter or anything that you'd like to share? Anything you want to pitch?
No. You know, I tried that and once again, that little young Thundercat. I was on Twitter for exactly 10 minutes. Instagram about 5. Mom, get your ass off of that. Get your ass
little
off.
Little damn Thundercat told you to get
little
up off of Twitter.
Thundercat.
He said a young Thundercat. Oh, my God.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Thank you for listening to Voice from the Underground. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at VFU Podcast. See you next time.
Voice from the underground.